everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Fortress Of, a podcast about movies and TV shows and video games and lots of pop culture nerd things. My name is Oscar. I'll be one of your hosts today. And with me, per usual, are two of your other hosts, Ryan and Devin. Hello, fellas.
Hello.
Yo, yo, yo.
It is I.
How we all doing today?
I exist.
Devin is rocking a spectacular mustache now that I have many feelings about.
He is on some sort of list. I'm not sure which, but he is on one.
He can't visit parks right now, but that's okay.
I mean, listen, all the guys love it. You know, all the girls hate it. My girlfriend absolutely hates it. She made me sit down and watch the episode of New Girl where Schmidt has a mustache.
Yeah.
And they shave it off him in the end. So it's maybe heading that way, but you know, it's fun to wear for maybe like a week.
I'm telling you, I said it on Instagram and I got a lot of mean DMs in regards to a lot of people were offended, but I feel like it's in every white man's journey to spend at least 1 week where they're just like, I just got to try it. I just got to see what it,
the moment.
I got to see what it I looks mean, like, the mustache. Yeah. It never works.
Right.
But they always try.
I don't hate it. But it's like I know I can grow a beard, but it's just that I'm choosing not to. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's showing that, you know, you can have facial hair, but you choose to have this weird look.
I mean, I told you, you look like Porn Stash, and Porn Stash is going to be Master Chief. So by transitive property, you are Master Chief. That's pretty cool.
It does seem like you're going through a phase considering your birthday's coming around the corner. Happy early birthday, by the way.
Yeah.
So it's like,
are you
all right? Are you going through a crisis?
Oh, you decided that you're now officially a father?
Yeah, that's kind of why I did it, because my dad has always had a mustache. So I figured, you know, hey, for my birthday, I'm saying goodbye to my 20s, you know, entering the 30s. So it's time to just become my father and get like Air Force Ones, start wearing like white socks.
What the fuck
like,
kind of dad
does your dad wear Air Force
your dad's
Ones?
Rocking the Air Forces, the white.
Your dad's like,
do I have that wrong? Wait, the New Balances, the Royal, is it Royal Monarchs? The New,
yeah,
Balance
New Balances.
Shoes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
those are not
those
Air Force.
I was about to say, I was like, your boy walking around in the swim swap. Oh shit.
But yeah, the New Balances. Okay, and then white, like white crew socks all the way up. Not quite to your knee, but like halfway up your calf.
With some khaki shorts.
Yeah, or jean shorts, which you tuck in
yep.
with like a work belt.
And you got to tuck your shirt in.
Yep.
Even if it's a t-shirt. In.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
why is that a thing too? That's another white man thing. Is I feel like white men hit a certain age and they just decide, I am now 50. They'll only be 25. But they'll be like, today I decided I'm 50.
Is the tucking the shirt in thing like a, like so your pants don't fall down type thing? I still don't understand.
I don't know.
Hello.
I don't know either. Listeners, let us know. All right. Well, yeah. Happy early birthday, Devin.
Yay.
You old fuck. with that, shall we move on to our first segment of the week, which we like to call
News Talk.
All right. First story of the week. It's about the Batgirl movie, the DC Batgirl movie that we talked about in the past bit. Two things about it. They revealed her costume. Leslie Grace, who is playing Batgirl, she revealed it on Instagram or Twitter. I can't remember.
On Instagram.
Let's talk about that real quick. It looks fine.
It looks like the comic book.
Yes, it does. But it looks kind of cheap to
it
me.
Looks cheap.
I'm not going to lie.
I don't think it looks very good because I think
it looks like a motorcycle jacket.
Yeah, it looks like what I would see if I went to Comic-Con, like a decent Comic-Con, not like the shitty one down the street and someone dressed up as Batgirl. Like that's what
it looks
see.
Like.
Yeah.
Batman and Robin costumes.
Yeah.
The
yeah,
old
yeah.
movie, like the 9 or 2000 movie.
Yeah, like all leather.
Not as bad, but I don't know. I think I just don't.
And,
yeah, I don't know. There's
just,
something about it.
Yeah, and then making it like the colors are kind of like, even though it's a navy blue, with like a yellow cape and stuff, like trying to put it around that backdrop of like, oh, it's so dark and creepy, and then that looks like a fucking, maybe it'd work in a Marvel situation where it's so bright and flowery and stuff, but like,
right,
shit gets
I am
dark.
Hoping that maybe it is just like a it'll look better in motion type of situation,
or maybe they'll color correct enough so that it'll look
yeah, because I think like her hair and the cowl, everything looks great. It's literally just like the weird motorcycle looking jacket of vest thing.
Yeah.
I don't know,
all purple leather.
It looks like what would happen if I tried to be like a superhero,
right?
Like,
so, and maybe it's like her Mark One outfit or something. I don't know.
Fair.
It's probably not, but
oof.
She literally looks like she'd fit in any of the early 2000s superhero movies, like
yep.
that first X-Men. Like put her right in there with them. Should fit right in.
Yeah. Hey, Brian, do you want to lead in the second part of that Batgirl thing while I plug in my computer?
Oh, And of course, the second part about this story is that Leslie Grace is actually going to be what's considered, I guess, let me see, the first transgender character in the DC universe, or DC, I guess, extended universe.
Well, hold on. Sorry, not to correct you. She's not, but they casted another character in it who is the transgender character.
Oh, my bad. Oh, Ivory Aquino.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She is a character who, I don't know, her name is Alicia Yeo. She's going to be the first transgender in the DCEU universe. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, I think, because both the actor and the character are both transgender. So that's a pretty awesome step. I'm really hoping this movie's good so that there's more of that will happen in the future as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Apparently she's her bartender and also her best friend and a roommate.
Bartender? Wait. So what happened first? I'm assuming bartender first. And then maybe they moved in together and they became best friends. Because like, oh yeah, she's my bartender. Oh, she's also my roommate, my best friend. It's like,
right, right.
What's up?
So yeah, that's pretty awesome. Just more representation is always good.
We love to see it.
I'm really hoping this movie's good. We also already know that, like we talked about it, Michael Keaton's Batman is going to be in this at some point. Also, I still don't think it's confirmed, but it's pretty like more heavily rumored that Brendan Fraser is going to be the villain, which I'm just happy to see him back in the world.
That's something.
If they make it campy, that would be awesome. If they try to take it seriously, it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what they should do.
Not that he couldn't do it. But
I don't know. It's Batman. Batman's always just serious, except for those old movies. Some of them
could be great. Could be a complete disaster.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Cautiously optimistic.
Hit or miss.
DC's like what 30% on how good their movies are, and I'm thinking mainly of just Wonder Woman. So
that's not even a fabrication. Though. That's like completely right. It's definitely about 30%.
Like
hit rate.
Definitely not over 40.
Yeah, maybe even less.
They're not batting a high average here.
Yeah. Well, speaking of DC. Joss Whedon, he finally stepped into the light and responded to all of the criticisms and allegations against him, specifically during the filming of Justice League, and he had some choice words to say about some things.
Gaslit. He's casting that shit like fireballs. Hey, what about this, Joss Whedon? Gaslight. What about this? Gaslight. Pew, pew. Real super villain, this man is.
I mean, yeah.
You just didn't understand what I was saying.
Yeah. I mean, he did this interview with New York Magazine, and basically he said he thought he could help when they asked him to do Justice League. He thought he could fix it and help, and he thought he could help. And then apparently it's one of the biggest regrets of his life, which it's probably, I feel like there's worse things that you should regret. If speculation, obviously, but yes.
If you're looking introspectively. There's probably some other stuff you could probably regret in your life. You probably should.
Yeah. He also said the cast was the rudest cast he ever worked with, which we'll never know. We'll never know the actual truth. We were not there, obviously. But it sounds like that they just didn't blend because Zack Snyder and Joss Whedon are two very different stylistic directors. But also, don't be a dick to people. Like,
I mean, I will say that there's... Like, once again, this is all speculation, whatever. For legal reasons, I can't say this actually happened. But there is something to take away when the two people that have the biggest, loudest voices about you doing wrong things are the two marginalized groups, a woman and a black dude.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not wrong.
And speaking of that, I did like his response about what Gal Gadot had said was that English isn't her first language, and he likes to speak in a flowery, annoying, flowery vocabulary. And it's just like, that is the dumbest thing you could have said as a response.
Yeah, he was like, what was it? Like, it's an expression that he says it like an expression to her. And she's like, no, I know exactly what that expression means. Like,
yep. Right.
Like, she even took the time out of her day to counter what he said after someone told her what he said. It's like, that's how you know that she did not misinterpret it. Like,
right. And it's just like, dude, he's just like saying all the wrong things all the time. And it's just like, he just sounds like, I don't know. Like, he's trying to, like, cover his ass, but he's also, like, doubling down on being a total dick, apparently, in his responses.
It's deflection mixed with, this is just who I am.
Right.
And that's not okay. Because if that's just it, you're too old to still be saying that this is just who you are. If you can't learn from things, basically when it comes to communication with other humans, that's a character flaw that you need to be working on. Like, I'm sorry, dude. Even if all of this was a misunderstanding, if people are misunderstanding you, that's something that you need to be addressing
right.
As you are a director. C- communications a big portion of your job. Like,
right.
The fuck?
If you're walking around and everybody's misinterpreting and like being offended by what you're saying, it's like, maybe you should maybe work on, maybe don't try to be funny. Maybe right. just get the job done.
Right. The other big thing was his confrontations with cyborg actor Ray Fisher was mostly about how they downsized his role in the movie, which they did 1,000,000%. And we in quote was saying, like, it feels like I'm taking notes right now when he speaking, like taking notes from Ray Fisher. And he said, and I don't like taking notes from anybody, not even Robert Downey Jr. And it's like, it just seems like, okay, he's just the type of director that it's got, there's no collaboration, it seems. Mm-hmm, it's like mm-hmm. everything he says and writes on the page is gold and do not sway from this whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Like, this is it. And I get some people are like that, but it's just like, ew.
The more that I've learned about Joss Whedon, the more impressed I am that the first Avengers was so good. Like,
I mean, that's the thing. Like, his whole career was built on, he knew how to make ensemble pieces work. Mm-hmm. And like, credit to him, like he does, like, but it's like, it's the whole, it goes back to the whole debate of like, can you separate the art from the artist? And it's like, sometimes yes, sometimes no. I just think this, you're kind of still a piece of shit.
Say, even for me, I don't know, because I do think that, like, I know, I don't want to understate his place in making these movies, but I also don't want to overstate it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the mm-hmm. cast that he's working with, the other people around him, things like it's all a collaboration. It's a movie. There's mm-hmm. hundreds exactly. of jobs on these sets. So to credit everything just to him also feels kind of shitty, because it's like
mm-hmm. right.
he might have been the one that this movie may have been great in spite of him in a lot of mm-hmm. ways, the same way that could be good true. Because of him. So
I mean, yeah, it's like we got Infinity War and Endgame, and those movies survived, and he wasn't involved in them at all. So it's
right,
like,
true, right.
yeah, yeah, no, yeah,
in
absolutely.
Some ways better as well.
Right.
So I mean, yeah, we can say that, you know, it wasn't exactly like his, you know. What do you say? Credit that the first one was so good, but we can blame Age of Ultron. I'm just going to put that all at the feet of Joss Whedon.
I still don't think that movie's that bad. But that movie's boring.
Ultron is lame.
Yeah, so I don't know how much we can more to say. Like, he's dug his own ditch.
Dude
yeah.
seems like kind of a dick. The end.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm sure he'll get more movies and stuff in the future, because Hollywood seems to reward kind of these kind of people. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's true.
Thanks, capitalism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Next news story. All right. What's The Rock? He's he's going to make another video game movie, but we don't know what it is. It's apparently going to get announced this year. What do we think it could be?
So yeah. Remember, he did say that it was a game that he's played for years.
It's very true.
I don't know much about The Rock and what kind of video games he plays, but I do know that he is one of the many actors that have dabbled for quite some time in World of Warcraft.
Do you think we're going to take a pun at that again?
I think we're going to go for a World of Warcraft 2, boys.
No
way. What would
way.
The Rock play in that?
Would he be
Henry Cavill wants to play. This is a big fuck you to Henry Cavill, who also very much would like to play a character in World of Warcraft.
Oh, that's fine.
They got to get them both in there if they both play well. Just get all...
Like, I'm honestly surprised. I was thinking about this the other day, actually. I was like, because like the Vin Diesel's been trying to get The Rock to be in the Fast 10 or whatever. I was like, I'm surprised they haven't like asked Henry Cavill to be in that shit yet.
They
he seems like
will.
He'd fit in there pretty well.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
they'll probably do it next time.
What game? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know his life. What could he play? Could it be like my first thought was Call of Duty, just because like that's a year-round thing. At first, God. I was like, he could be in a Gears, but it's like I don't see The Rock playing a Gears all the time. But ooh. I could see him playing a Call of Duty potentially. Just like a generic, which would just be a generic action movie.
That would be
such
a bad fucking movie. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But you said, think about what you just said though, Oscar. Generic action movie.
I know.
Generic action movie? No, never. That never could be a combo.
I mean, we got Rampage and that came out of left field. I was never expecting that movie
right?
to ever be made. What the fuck?
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
Because, it's not, in my head, it's not going to be like an old school game, because I doubt The Rock's playing an old school game for years. Like, to this day, he's still playing Pac-Man or something. I don't know.
I take my answer back. I want to do a different one.
Okay.
We're in a world right now where we've had a lot of animated things have a resurgence, like Sonic and, you know, mm-hmm. Detective Pikachu, mm-hmm. Pokemon, stuff like that. I think left field prediction 2022 is going to be Crash Bandicoot. And Rock is gonna play Crash.
Is he Crash?
He's gonna play Crash.
Oh no, my God! He's Crash, and Kevin Hart is the floating Hoop with the Gut guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. That sounds actually perfect.
It's just Jumanji again.
Oh my God, that would be funny.
Oh God, that's so good. Oh no.
Yeah. Damn. Actually, Peter Dinklage would probably be a pretty good neocortex though. He has that voice going on.
He does. That's not bad. Hmm. That's actually not bad.
God, why don't I get paid for this, bro?
It's true. It's true. But speaking of Peter Dinklage, he's had some choice words when it comes to Disney announcing they're remaking a live action version of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. Granted, none of us are really qualified to talk about this, but we're just going to talk about what he said. Also, because Disney kind of came out and like, look at us, we casted a Latina actress as Snow White. It's the same woman that played Maria in the recent West Side Story remake. So it's like, yay, cool. You casted this. And then Peter Dinklage, he was on a podcast, the Marc Maron's WTF podcast. His quote was, I was a little taken aback when they were very proud to cast a Latina actress as Snow White. You're still telling the story of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. Take a step back and look at what you're doing there. It makes no sense to me. Yeah. I feel like he's probably got a point.
Yeah. And, I mean, absolutely. Like, we can take any marginalized group and kind of fit it in there, and it'll have a similar kind of case where it's like, no one wants to end up being typecasted as shit. And it's especially when it's such a terrible stereotype about like being an elf or being, you know, a dwarf, mm-hmm. or all these other things, right. Where it's like, why can't I just be a normal person without having, it's kind of the same
why
issue.
Why can't I be Snow White?
I mean, even things like that are definitely very valid, where it's like, the same reason, why does every person of color in a movie have to have this crazy struggle? If they're black, they have to mm-hmm. be poor. If they're right. Latino, they have to be, you know, fucking, their parents can't get abroad, like other shit like that, where it's like, why do I always have to be this character when obviously I have the chops to be so much more? And you exactly. just put me down as he has to be the broken one of every movie that he's in, or every TV show that he's in. Like, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Like,
no, yeah. My biggest thing is that movie sucks.
When you make it, it's going to be a bad movie anyway. So it's like, why even waste the time? I mean, this, what is this, from the 30s when this was written?
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah.
Who cares anymore?
Also, we've seen like, I feel like 4 Snow White remakes in the past decade. I'm like, I am so fucking sick.
Writing
of
has
Snow
evolved
White,
since then. Like, I don't even think it's a thing. Even for nostalgia reasons, I don't think it's a thing that people really want to watch anymore. Anyone that's into that is dead already. Like,
mm-hmm. yeah.
If that's your favorite Disney movie, I'm sorry.
Right, right.
If they did it like, if they did it the way that like Lord of the Rings did dwarves, where they just did, you know, regular sized people and then they shrink right. them a little bit for like the story. I feel like that's better, right? Because I feel like little people have been the most maybe overlooked in like in movies and stuff. They've always kind of been typecasted and stuff like that. And like the fact that, you know, Peter Dinklage is speaking out about this now is kind of like, yeah, I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I think the biggest thing is, and I mean, I can't talk from, but so much of a place from this, not being a little person myself, but it's just how you're portrayed on film. Mm-hmm. It's like, if I'm being shown as the ass of every joke, like Bad Santa 2, mm-hmm. In which Peter Dinklage was
oh,
he not?
Oh, God.
Like,
right.
Or like he was in Elf too. And, right. you know, and right. that, yeah. that whole, his whole character was about that.
And that's the thing that really sucks, where it's like the dwarves are very high regarded people of Lord of the Rings. I've never watched it, but I mm-hmm. understand like fantasy tropes and things like that, or they're not being like, oh yeah, we got these people. Oh, and the dwarves, they fucking suck. You know what? Like, what the fuck?
I mean, for Christ's sake, the dwarves are main characters of The Hobbit, you right. know? Mm-hmm. Some would say more than Bilbo was the main character of those movies. So it's like,
so that's yeah. the thing. I don't think they want them to like, even if you, I mean, I'm sure you probably also want to be in things where they ignore the fact that you're a little person, but then also mm-hmm. be in places where you rise up the fact, like, make me a character of importance, make me something real. Don't make me right. have to have that broken story that I always have to have because of who I am as a person.
It's just like, an outdated thing because yeah. it's a movie, again, was made fucking nearly 100 years ago.
Exactly. Right.
And
right.
so, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they will do something different. Who knows? They already said Gal Gadot is going to be the evil queen. Whoa. So look at them. They're adding brown people to this story.
Interesting
whatever.
Choice.
But,
it'd be fun to see her be a villain.
I like it. Yeah. I'm good with it. Actors should be able to do everything. Do it.
I agree. I wish The Rock would do that.
Fuck you, The Rock.
Yeah, he's so much better as a villain. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like they could. I feel like there could be a right way to do it, but not if you just typecast.
Not have seven dwarves in the title would be a good start.
Yeah,
that's
but just fair. I don't know, something, maybe you some with them with special
they're not
effects.
Like ethnically dwarves. I'm pretty sure they're just short people in
right.
That,
yeah,
the,
I got it.
It's not
I,
like a fantasy world gone. Where it's like you have like gnomes and dwarves and other humanoid races like that. Is it? I don't think so. Everyone else is. I think everyone's human, quote unquote.
Well, I guess the witch, well, like the evil witch, queen, yeah. has magic, so maybe I don't know.
I feel like it's a fantasy world.
That
I
mean, movie is so world. Thin. It's like 20 minutes long or whatever. So it's like I don't know.
I'm just saying that because like based on like Lord of the Rings, where like that's a race. Dwarves are a race. Whereas I don't know if they're considered a race. If there's only seven of them, would you even consider them a race anyway? Like,
why did they do the dwarves in the Kristen Stewart Snow White movie? Was that I think they did like regular sized people and they just shrank them with special effects, I think.
Yeah.
Is that better though?
I don't that's a good question too. I don't know if is that better or worse. Is that is that taking jobs away from other actors that are more suited for it? Or I don't know. That's a
hard one.
That's a whole different debate. That's interesting though.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if you cast like seven little people, then you just have to humanize everyone and not just make it slapstick and like, haha, goofy little dwarf people, right? Like, like movies would usually have done in the past.
Right.
So you can do it. Like, I feel like you can do it in a right way if you, I don't know.
I think Peter Dinklage's idea is this just shouldn't exist, which I'm not against.
Just don't do the movie.
It's like you said, archaic story.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's not even worth the backlash. Oh, well.
Yeah. All right. With that is the end of the first segment of the show. We did it. We survived it. Shall we move on to our main topic of the week?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Oh, hey, what's up, Alex? All right, let's go. All right, guys. It is that time of the week again. It's time for us to move on to our main topic, but we are trapped in another fortress this week. This time, it's a fortress that we've seen before.
Getting deja vu.
Yeah, I'm getting deja vu of a really bad fortress.
Again. Yeah. Been here before?
The worst deja
vu. Been here
vu.
Before.
It was better the first time.
And
trash deja vu.
Ugh, it doesn't make any sense. Let's just go. Let's move. Because we're in the fortress of...
The Matrix. Number 4, Resurrections. Keanu Reeves. Does his
the
best.
Bad one. The
They're
worst
back.
One.
Yeah. Look, it's cool because this is a callback to our very first episodes of the podcast.
Yeah.
I just wish it was in better fashion.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, hopefully it'll be our last like callback because I don't want to ever cover anything Matrix again if this is what they're gonna do with it.
So yes, we're in the fortress of the Matrix Resurrections. Let's get into it. No spoilers for now.
Don't sound so depressed, Oscar. It wasn't like that bad. Like
no, to be fair,
his life is ruined.
It was that bad.
It's been a couple of weeks since I saw it, I feel like it's gotten worse for me. Because when I first saw it, I was like, you know what? It's not great or even good, really, but there's a lot of interesting and good concepts in there that I wish were better.
Actually, so let's go around. What did everybody think? Let's start with Alex. How did you feel about
it? I watched it really recently. I thought it definitely could have been so much better. I felt like the weakest part for me was the opening. It had some of the best action in the beginning, but story-wise, it like didn't make any fucking sense. And I'm still struggling to grasp the greater picture of the movie, particularly the first like 30 minutes, all the exposition they set up, and then just like put a giant question mark on, like, oh yeah, we'll circle back to this later, and then they never really do exactly. Or they do, but it just makes it more confusing. Honestly, I wish that they marketed the movie to make it, to let you know that it was going to be a comedy, and then maybe I would have enjoyed it a little bit more.
It is funny. Maybe sometimes
it's a satire
on,
the Matrix. It's a satire of its own thing.
Right.
Is it the...
It's like it takes itself super seriously, and then it doesn't, and then it kind of does again. It
we're gonna
really
get into
know
it.
Where it wants to sit.
And there's one scene, struggles. Especially towards the end, that makes me feel exactly like you think. It was like, is this a satire? Is this supposed to? Because it's like a very serious moment. And they do this one thing, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, just what the fuck?
Yeah.
For me, it was like the middle, which was actually my favorite part, where it becomes, I think it becomes like a comedy. They're just kind of making fun of Matrix fans and the Matrix series in general. Without spoilers, in a satire kind of a way, I think, and
very meta,
and then it gets super serious again. So it just kind of really threw me around.
It's almost like they just threw a bunch of concepts at the wall and just rolled with them.
Yeah,
and
it just rolled around,
didn't decide what to do,
and it didn't edit. I feel not as positively as even Alex does, even though I don't feel like he was that positive about it. So I asked myself a question when it comes to making a sequel in anything. And me and Oscar, I know you and I, we've talked about that pretty like at length when it comes to my thing. When you want to add new story, is it a story worth telling?
Yes.
The Last of Us. I said the same thing about The Last of Us. I was like, if you're making another one of The Last of Us video games, is it a story worth telling? They proved me wrong and they had something to say. It wasn't great. It wasn't amazing, but it was something to say. This movie didn't say shit.
what did it say?
Anything. It said nothing about nothing.
Action sequences and some funny jokes.
I wouldn't even say cool.
I wouldn't even say that.
Here's some decent explosions.
Number two is I can accept a bad movie. Matrix 2 and 3 aren't great. And that's okay, because they're fun. What I can't stand is a boring movie. This movie is also fucking boring. And it's over 2 hours of just fucking boring.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like this movie. And this is from someone that came from a place that didn't expect to like this movie.
Did you like anything about it? Or is it just all like zero out of 10?
I like Keanu Reeves doing his best. I think Carrie Ann Moss, definitely, she worked really, really well and served.
I think she's the highlight for me.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. Who is it? The guy that played Yahya Abdul-Mateen? He's great.
See, he's the weakest to me, really? Personally.
I just enjoy him as a person. I think he's a
cool
guy.
Not in like a, like he's bad. Like, I think all of the actors are good in this. He's just the weakest based on who he's portraying, which we'll get to.
That's fair.
That to me, his whole character was the epitome of the whole like fourth movie. Like his just whole character and who he is is just a giant question mark. And then like his delivery was very floaty. It was like just kind of dancing around lots of different ideas and never really landing anywhere.
I can't wait. Devin, go ahead.
You don't want me to stop. You don't want me to.
Okay, Devin, say one good thing about the movie first.
No.
He refuses. Okay.
The line that sums this movie up perfectly is where...
Spoilers.
Walks out of a fucking stall in the bathroom and says to Neo, is this a tragedy or farce? This movie is both. It's a farce and it's a fucking tragedy that they were so greedy that they wanted more money out of the Matrix franchise and they didn't do a good job of it. And you know what, guys? You know what was going through my head? You know, I was watching it. As I was watching those like first 20 minutes and being confused, bewildered as hell and just like, what are they doing right now? Like they're so meta on their own self. I was like, you know, this feels a lot like subverting expectations. It feels like they almost got so far up, like lost up their own asshole that they were like, I can tell such a crazy complex story. Where have I seen that before? It's like, The Last Jedi.
No.
That reminded me of The Last Jedi. I was sitting there like, you guys literally ruined like this franchise. Like the first 20 minutes was like, what the fuck is going on? Big Rian Johnson energy.
Interesting.
Oh my God.
I guess I can kind of see what you mean.
Even the old movies, right? Even 2 and 3, which weren't like, you know, fantastic movies because they got so convoluted. Even they had amazing action. Okay, even like when the story's in shambles, the freeway scene, the Smiths fight, like the third one had a crazy kung fu, like, you know, anime fight at the end. Mm. This movie had the most like white bread, generic action ever. Like it's not even like, I was like, hold on. I was like, okay, the story sucks, whatever. But then the action was like CW show quality. Like it's like, they get some extras in there that, you know, it's like, oh, should we like choreograph something and make it cool? Use some special effects? No.
Don't do CW that disservice. I'm pretty sure I've seen better stuff on the CW.
Yeah, sometimes.
I do want to get further into that. We should stop there and see what Oscar thinks. And then we should dig deep.
Yes.
Because I know Devin's ready to unleash.
It's a tragedy as a farce. I hate it.
Yeah, I would say, like, for me, the biggest letdown compared to the other Matrix movies, it's like, if you're going to be as bad of a story like 2 or 3, the action better make up for it. And this movie's action, like Devin just said, is just not interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I wrote down like maybe one or two things that was like, that was kind of cool, but it's in the trailer. And then other than that, I'm like, this is just such boring, generic stuff that I'm just like, I'm not pulled to this part of the movie. So the story part of it is like, also I'm like, what? my biggest overall statement, which we'll get into more, is at times this movie feels like a fan film.
Mm.
It felt like a weird YouTube fan film at times where I'm like, where it's just like, what is happening? And we'll get into it.
I mean, honestly, I don't think that's an incorrect statement. It probably is a fan film.
No, it's true. I just don't think it's a well done fan film.
To me, it feels like, you know, Warner Brothers came to the director and was like, hey, we'd love you to make another, you know, Matrix movie. Here's a giant paycheck. And they're like,
oh, we'll get to Warner Brothers.
But yeah, but it's like, I guess
she shits on them.
Their hearts clearly was not in it. Like this just clearly spoke of like just the writing and everything was like, this is clearly a money grab. We clearly don't care about any of the characters. We don't care about the universe we created.
I wonder what if it was though, because I mean,
it absolutely was.
Let's get into spoilers now. So check the time codes. Spoilers start now. Warner Brothers is in this universe. And there is that really weird conversation with Jonathan Groff, Agent Smith, where he talks about Warner Brothers wants us to make one and they're going to they're going to make us do it with or without them. I'm like, is this like, are they like getting meta in this very conversation about like, are they shitting on Warner Brothers in their own movie that Warner Brothers made? I'm like, this is so weird.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it does make you think like, is this what Warner Brothers was going to do? And that's why there's that weird conspiracy going, did Lana make this bad on purpose? Mm-hmm. I don't think so, but it's an interesting thought, but I don't think that's true.
Yeah, I guess that is pretty interesting. I thought it was a funny like bit, but maybe it is a direct pair. Like they snuck that line in as like, hey fans, they're making us do this. So we, you know, we're doing our best. Like we didn't want to be here, but here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I'm reading here where during the pandemic, of course, filming had to shut down for this because it started in like late 2019 or like early 2020 or something like that. Then instantly the pandemic happened and Lana was considering trashing it, but it was the cast that insisted that she finish it. And it was like, huh, that's interesting that the cast must have been. I mean, I'm sure Keanu was loving this shit. He just seems like the kind of guy that would walk into the fucking like casting area and just like a cup of coffee, just hype to do his damn job. Hey guys, what's going on? Like that kind of energy. But
I will say, I never thought Keanu Reeves would have aged until I saw him. In the quote unquote real world as a bald man, I was like, holy shit, he finally aged a couple of years.
Which I was surprised by. I was like, do you think that's real? Do you think that him and Carrie Ann Moss both shaved their heads?
I was wondering if they did it again.
Because like I'm looking at it, I'm like, it looks real as fuck. But I'm like, there's no way. Because Carrie Ann Moss is bald for like 3 seconds in this movie.
Plus, Keanu Reeves has had like long hair for like years now. So.
Right.
Yeah.
You would think he'd be pretty attached to having long hair and that he wouldn't want to cut it for this film. But, yeah. I mean.
But also, it's long again. So I was like, I don't know. I was very, I wonder if he cut it again.
Is it long already? Who knows?
Yeah, we've seen him recently. They're long.
Maybe, yeah, we saw him at the Game Awards.
Maybe it was a cap. Maybe he's got a wig right now.
I'm thinking they're using Unreal Engine 5 for some of this shit.
Oh, shit. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
So since we're talking about the whole Warner Brothers and all the weird meta shit, let's just get all of that crap out of the way with the whole the Game Awards. He's a game. So you're telling me, because my first gripe is, I would immediately know that this world is fake because there's no way a game looks that good in 1999. That is a bunch of bullshit. You're telling me a game looks like that?
I don't think they're in 1999 anymore.
Yeah, you know, it's like present day now.
No, but The Matrix came out in 1999. There's a close-up of the Game Award on his desk that says 1999 on it.
That's when the first quote-unquote game was made. Word. And it looked like that.
Well, I will say the first Matrix video game, and was it Enter the Matrix that came alongside the second movie, or I don't know, where you play Naomi and Ghost, and they have live action scenes that were from shot outside of the movie. So maybe it's just like that kind of a thing, like they're using live action to help tell the story as well.
Mm-hmm. Just imagine the gameplay of that game in 1999.
I really want to play whatever game the Matrix is.
Yeah,
they said it was a mindfuck. Then the second one had guns.
So, but that, like, they justified as, like, that's how, like, because the machines couldn't erase Neo's memories. So they just made him think that it was, like, inspiration for a game. And that's how they kept him trapped. So it was like.
Which that, I kind of like that aspect.
Yeah,
that like,
cool.
If you're trying to keep Neo in the Matrix, keep him as close to it and make him think he's crazy. Like, I thought that was an interesting aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just felt like there was more, like, from the trailer, I thought they were going to play more with, like, the reality kind of thing again of, like, questioning reality. And they basically just do it all in that like montage where he's just kind of going through his days. And they don't really like it. It was more into like that montage where they're like pitching stuff for the game. And it seems like it was like conversations they might have had about pitching the movie. Like,
Right.
You know, it seems like they were like trying to imitate real life there or something. So that whole
to do bullet time, but better.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, the whole thing. Like, it was supposed to be meta.
What is the Matrix? Yeah. It's mind porn. It's blah. It's just mindless action. It's like, I see what you're doing. You're just not doing a good job of it.
That was my thing. It was definitely trying to play the meta fourth wall break, make you go, "Ooh, that's so smart," but it wasn't very smart. It was like, "Oh, right. The first one's about mind porn, and the second one, you go, you get guns. We want more guns. The third one, we want to make it convoluted as fuck." And I'm like, "Okay, you're making fun of the movies that you made. That's funny. Why is this scene so long?"
But you're also actively making a bad movie.
Right. At the same time, like talking about how you want to make something different. You didn't make anything different. You did exactly what you said you're going to do. You made the same damn thing. It was bad.
I wouldn't even say they made the same thing. I think they did in a sense.
But worse.
They kind of made all three movies at the same time in this one, in a weird way.
It seemed like, I think one of the things, one of the people at the game company was saying like, "Oh, we don't want to do like a hard reboot. We want to make like a new story." And then another person was like, "Well, maybe we do want to make a reboot because that's what sells." And that's kind of what it seems like the movie was. They played with the like shot for shot, exact carbon copy reboot of the first one, just like we've seen with Star Wars episode 7. They kind of did a new thing where it's a new story, brand new characters. They're kind of retelling. So that's kind of collaborating all ideas of a remake, a sequel, a reboot, all into one fourth movie. They should have just picked one
idea.
Then
also fun of it the whole time. Like that was the weird thing. It's like, why not? The Matrix movies never took themselves lightly. So it was just weird to like have this almost comedic vibe to it at the beginning. Like I would have much rather had like a mystery where, you know, Neo is like trying to figure out how to, like, if, you know, like the same questions he was having at the beginning of the first Matrix, like questioning what's real and stuff and kind of playing with that more instead of like, "Yep, this is a reboot. You guys know it's a reboot. And we're just going to like throw that right in your face."
Yeah. If they didn't mention all that, like the game stuff was cool, but maybe just not poking fun at the how they need to make a new game. Maybe that would have been all it took to be a little bit better.
It just seems like two separate movies at times.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
exactly. Totally. Exactly. And I think it was just in poor faith the way that they put out the trailers and the way the trailers seemed to, like you said, focus so much on the aspect of what's reality and what's not. They focused a lot on those blue pills. Man saw those blue pills twice and then we never saw them again. But the trailer was like 1.5 minutes worth of him struggling with his medicine and whether or not he should take it and stuff. That was a 30
second. I told you guys that there's a reason why this movie won best movie where the trailer was better than the movie. For
And like to double down on it, like, the whole time, like when he's, I think in the game, like it's showing him clips of like his memories, right? Like from the video game. And then like that first scene where it opens up, like it's the Trinity scene, you know, iconic scene. And then like, as he's questioning stuff and he's working with Morpheus and the other girl to get out, like there's like scenes from the first movie playing on a, you know, on a projector screen and stuff like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're literally showing you the movie you wish you were watching now. Like they're showing you a better movie. You're sitting there the whole time, and like as the audience, it's reminding you, I wish that this movie was maybe even close to as good as that movie. Like, it's just the fact that they kept on like throwing the old movie in your face, like, "Hey, remember this awesome scene? Remember this? Remember how cool this was?" It's like, yes, this is not that at all. Like,
speaking of that, it's the opening where it's just the Trinity scene, but slightly different. We get the intro of Smith Morpheus, which
Smithius
already started to bring some questions in the fact that so they establish in this that he's in a, what they call a modal, which, so is that just
what
like
that?
It's a matrix within the matrix almost in a sense? Because they say it's like a program that Neo made to evolve programs, which is why he put Morpheus in there with Smith in a combo so that Morpheus would eventually evolve in there to eventually learn that he's Morpheus so that he could escape the matrix. It's like,
to up its own ass. Yeah, it's supposed to be like a training module almost. It's like it's like when you send your Pokemon to the babysitter or whatever and it levels them up. It's basically just that is what you're trying to do.
Right.
It comes back as a Charmander. It's like a Charizard now, even though it was a Charmander when you send it there. That's all they were doing.
But it's just like, so all right. So, and we also get the intro to Bugs, which Bugs Bunny. Okay, I get. So was that their little thing of
Bugs? Oh,
okay,
Bugs
look,
Bunny,
we literally
funny.
Have the Warner Brothers mascot
oh, wow.
coming into the movie. and making Neo leave the Matrix. Is that another thing of Warner Brothers making us make this type of
thing?
That's great. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
So we get, which I liked Jessica Henwick. I thought Bugs, I thought she was good.
She was great.
I liked her character. And I thought, yeah.
I liked her blue hair.
That feels very Matrix for sure.
Yeah. I feel like she's the one that is the most Matrix because I don't give a shit about any of the other her squad.
I couldn't even name them.
They don't have cool names or cool looks anymore. Mm-hmm. They're all just so generically forgettable now.
Mm-hmm. All I remember is you have like Tank Jr. Where he's like, I'm big black man and I'm Tank, but I'm not Tank. But okay, whatever. What was Tank's brother's name? Because Tank was the little one, wasn't he?
Tank was the one they don't talk about.
Yeah. What was the other guy's name?
He
was,
Dozer.
Yeah, he was basically just Dozer's son, grandson.
Link was the one, the operator from the second and third.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so like that whole module and getting Morpheus out. I like the idea that he's a combo of Morpheus and Smith, but other than
that
opening scene.
What does that mean?
He's just Morpheus.
It was big John Boyega energy and Star Wars, where it's like he almost defected from being like just a nameless stormtrooper, just a nameless Smith, even though he was the only black one, which was also hilarious. It was like, huh.
I thought that was great.
We've noticed these always been white dudes for the last 200 years that we've been doing this. What's a bald black dude doing here? What the fuck?
I just don't get why. Like, why couldn't he have just been a brand new character? Why do they have to make him Morpheus? Like, that doesn't.
Yeah.
What does that do for the story and or the characters?
It makes me miss the old Morpheus more and hate this movie more, Alex. That's your answer.
We should have gone back to like our predictions when we first saw the trailer. I think part of my predictions were right, that a younger Morpheus was going to be in there and he was going to have to find a way to get a new Neo out of the Matrix in order to save future Morpheus. Maybe they should have just done my story and left it at that.
I think yours sounds better. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Your story was just as out there as this one was.
I said something else about like a pregnant Trinity, which I was wrong
about.
You
said she was pregnant and they were gonna have an Agent Smith baby.
Yeah, that would have been cool too. I regret nothing.
I at least understand that a little bit better than I understand
right.
this one.
Yeah, it would have made more sense. I mean, I really do think this was like a rebellion against Warner Brothers because it was just such like a blatant. Like, it just was so blatant that, like, their hearts weren't in it, and, like, it was lazy.
This movie was not made in good faith. I agree with you 100%. I don't believe that it was made in good faith.
I don't know, man.
Because, like you said, one of the things we talked about was that choreography was bad. It was really bad.
It's not... It might be good. It's just shot horribly as well.
Maybe the issue is the way that it was shot.
I think it was shot really well. I think the cinematography...
Oh, I don't think so.
I mean, I'm always looking for like lighting and cinematography and like interesting angles and stuff and colors. Mm-hmm. The colors were beautiful. They had a lot more colors than just green. I thought...
Thank God.
Blue was like all over the movie, which I thought was pretty interesting with the whole red pill, blue pill being stuck in the Matrix. That was pretty evident. But I think it was shot really beautifully. The frames were great. The lighting was great. Mm-hmm. I think the way they covered the action sequences were really nice. There was just the choreography wasn't like anything spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Like, when the opening scene when Bugs is kind of running from the agents and they're kind of going through different portals and stuff, and the point of
that was cool.
The camera's kind of canting every time they go through a new area. That was beautiful. And the tricks and the stunts that she was doing were pretty cool, like her little flips. But they were kind of bogus, but you know, at least it looked cool.
I mean, but the Matrix has always been bogus.
I don't think anything else looked really good. Choreography
and that's what I think
wise.
As well. I think what you saw there is probably what the beginning of filming when they were doing really really well, and then I think they got super lazy with it.
Yeah.
It's like that scene where they were fighting, where they bring all the other no name white people that we've never seen before and barely know their names that kind of dress cool but still look like 40-year-old men. those fight sequences suck. Like when they were fighting, what was the name of those people they were fighting that looked like savages?
Oh, the swans?
And the exiles?
Yeah.
With the Merovingian?
Yeah. Oh,
the
Merovingian's back.
Dirty ass homeless Merovingian.
Oh my God.
Where the fuck did he get his robe from? He needs to retire that one.
He was making stupid quips too about things that happened in the other movies and all this meta shit that was pissing me off.
He was saying like stuff like, I'm sick of like, we used to have art and now it's just video games and I'll spin off prequels. And he's spouting all of this nonsense.
Oh, wow.
Like, what are you doing?
I didn't catch anything that he said. I don't know what the heck he said.
You need subtitles.
That fight scene really drove home, like, that for me, that's when I realized, I was like, the action in this movie sucks. Like, that's, like, the first scene that really drove that home was, like, this is so generic. It sucks.
It felt like high school players kind of stuff, where it's like when you like, you know, the first baby's first choreography, where it's like, okay, throw a punch, now catch, okay, now flip me, okay, now we do this. Like, it was very like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't fluid mm-hmm. in the way that it felt. It felt very like rehearsed in a poor way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't know how to explain it any better than that.
I wonder if it was because like, and like, I had a sad feeling about this when I saw the trailer, because I was always worried from the start about Neo's new force push that it was going to be boring and generic after that. And it was to me, because Neo's fighting is bad because mm-hmm. one, his fight with Agent Smith is shot too close at times. He does one cool move when he flips across along the wall twice. And that's in the trailer.
Yeah,
other
cool.
than that, his fighting is bad. I don't know if that's because they were trying to do it practical and Keanu Reeves is an old man now. And then he just resorts to the force push. And it's like, it's boring to watch. It's not cool. And I do wonder if it's a thing that we've seen too much now since like the first Matrix trilogy. Like, everything was new. Like, we hadn't seen that shit before. And now it's like, we've seen so much content that it's like, I don't know.
I disagree, because I think because we can still go back and watch the first Matrix and you still enjoy those action sequences. That's why 100%. We love that movie. Like, this, don't care to see any of those action sequences ever again. Like, the original Matrix movies, you could go, like, you know, sometimes you watch that movie just to see the part where they jump at each other and they're firing the guns off, and then, you know, it's empty or they're both their heads, and then, you know, he throat punches Agent Smith. Like, that's what made the old Matrix great.
That's my favorite part.
You really painted that scene, Devin.
I love that scene, okay? I YouTube it all the time. But, like, it's like that, the stuff there was iconic, and it, like, it, like, dictated how other movies did their choreography for, like, you know, a decade. And, like, this was, like, they didn't even try. Like, you see, they didn't even try to do something new.
Even the dojo scene between Neo and the fake-ass Morpheus, that was, like...
just boring.
Yeah, I 100% agree with Devin when it comes to that. I think that this movie just forgot everything that it knew made it good in the previous. Like,
exactly.
You always remember the time where, first of all, stop nerfing our favorite characters to make them fit in the story better. Like, I get that you want to make it so he's not too strong, because then it'll be too easy for him. If that's the problem, make a different story. Your story sucks, because everyone wants to see the best version of your favorite character. We finally got to see Neo hit his max form, and then he died. And then we have this movie, and he's back to, like, it's when you buy a fucking new, it's like new God of War, where you probably have to get all your stats all over again. Mm-hmm. It's that kind of shit.
Where it's like, this is basically a video game, the movie. Any video game, the movie.
Yeah.
And that's so fucking annoying to me, because it's just like all the cool things that he was able to do by the end of Matrix 3 and all the cool things he did not do in the Matrix 4. Like you said, it got him mounted down to a force push, and that's all he had. There was a time that we were seeing Neo fighting a dude with one hand, and they were going in super speed, like an anime. Why is he now doing three punches every 3 minutes or so?
That's what I'm saying. I wonder if that has to do with Keanu Reeves just being old, in which case I'm like, shoot it better with a stunt double, or like, just shoot it. I don't know.
William Dafoe pile drive Spider-Man through a fucking building. So you can't tell me that an old man is the reason that you can't do this.
Exactly.
He does all the choreography for John Wick, doesn't he? And those movies are only like a year or two old, and the choreography.
Yeah, but
there
he's not
great.
As kung fu-y in John Wick, because it's a lot of gun fu-y in that one. So he's not like, he's not kicking people and doing shit like they would in the Matrix.
But I feel like if you had a choreographer that cared.
Oh, I completely agree.
Then you could have done something cool. But
it
seems like they either didn't even have one, or the one they had was just like didn't care at all. Like
they dropped the ball.
Like,
yeah.
Like
this was the
so
movie
bad.
Equivalent to Iron Fist in choreography.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It made me feel that felt exactly the same way. Actually, it might be the same choreographer. We might find this out.
But like,
hard way.
This movie could have been the exact same story. And if the action sequences redeemed it, then I'd be sitting here like, I mean, it's, you know, story wasn't great, but hey.
Exactly.
That, you know, that Merovingian fight scene, holy crap, that was awesome. They were pushing the, you know, pushing the boundaries again. Or it was like on par with the first Matrix. Not even close. Not even close. So like, it's just so disappointing.
One of my favorite bad moments was when they get out of some building or whatever towards the end of the movie. And these stupid zombie people are coming to get them.
Oh, okay.
And they're like, oh, Neo, like, you can't fly yet, can you? Like, can you fly us out of here? And he's like, hold my beer, bro. Hold my beer. and the camera pushes in, and it's your big moment, Neo. Come on, you can do this. And he flexes his hands up, and he bends the ground. And
it makes that sound. It goes, doo-doo.
He's like, nah, I can't do it, guys. We gotta walk this one out.
That shit made me laugh, though.
It was hilarious.
This scene made me go back three times, and then I almost turned off the movie after that. I was almost, even though I was so close to being at the end, I was almost like, this is too much for me. I can't go any further.
It was funny. I laughed out loud, but I was like, what's the point? Like, there's nothing cool that's going to happen anymore.
No. The timing of that scene was egregious. Like, that was so bad. it was funny.
The tone is weird.
But you're going and you're running through the serious moment. Everything is like, oh, you better fly. And it's like, this could have been an amazing moment. This is the Gal Gadot being able to fly for the first time moment.
Mm-hmm.
Dun, dun, right. Nothing.
That's what I'm saying. If I were to watch it again, knowing that it should be just a comedy, then I probably would enjoy it a lot more.
That's fair. Yeah. That's 100% fair.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the other awful aspect of this movie that I didn't like is the zombie swarm. I get it. It's a video game trope now, but it's so boring
so
to
overdone.
Watch.
It's so lazy.
It's incredibly boring to watch.
Kung Fu and zombies. Actually, that sounds pretty cool, but it was not cool to see.
The Kung Fu wasn't good enough to let have zombies. No.
And all he did the whole time was just do the force like push the entire time on the motorcycle ride.
Which sounds really cool. Why was that
not
cooler?
Just running people over with the cars. And like you don't even know where they're trying to go.
He did drive by punch one person.
Where are they even driving? It was so bad. And like, oh, let's do something nobody's ever seen before. Let's have them jump out of the buildings. And then they'll get on the road. And they'll get run over. They'll land on the car and the motorcycle. We've all seen that before.
Well, yeah, they turn into like suicide bombs, but they make sure to know that those were all bots and they weren't actually people.
Yeah, they did say
just to make sure, you know.
That was pretty cringy, though. I will, like, can we talk about that? Like, that was, I felt like that was a little of a bad move for the creators. Mm. That, like,
yes.
they couldn't do anything better. Like, they're already talking about suicide in the movie as like a theme line, which is something, but. To just like reinforce that through line with a little bit of garbage that doesn't seem like the best idea to me.
No.
Yeah, right. Like the old Matrix movies were so creative. Like, you know, the freeway scene, they had like those ghost brothers that could phase through, you know, matter. They had the doors that were popping up everywhere. Like, come up with something new. Come up with a new enemy that like uses the rules of the Matrix in kind of a fun way. Not just zombies, like computer zombies. What the fuck?
But Devin, they did come up with a new enemy. His name is Neil Patrick Harris. He's the Architect 2.0, aka the Analyst.
The Analyst. Yeah. It took me the whole movie to realize he was the new Architect. I was like, who? What is his role?
Oh,
what is his
God.
What is his job?
Yeah, so he's his therapist. He wears a lot of blue. Blue pill. Yeah. Get it? It's funny. Like, he's not bad. It's just they literally do the Architect scene 2.0, and it's just as bad. It's just a bunch of nonsense, dumb shit where he's explaining his whole plan of like the whole point is to keep him and Nia or him and Trinity as close as possible, mm-hmm. but not actually touching close enough. That's the key. And he's like, it's all just so. Weird, and he's like, like it's funny. Hope and despair have the similar code, and yada yada yada. It's just like you have all these ideas. They're just, but you're just saying them.
They were
not doing anything.
They
with
were
them,
crypto
though.
Mining your boy for 60 years. The man's getting used like a graphics card right now. Jesus Christ!
Like it was just so. It was supposed to be so like, ooh, he's so powerful and bad when he like slowed down Neo. Like you know, and like
right.
I mean. I don't know, like that effect felt lame too. Like it felt very like just very generic CGI, very generic effect of like, you know, a villain having that kind of power.
There was no real tension there. Like even though you kept seeing it, I wasn't like stressed about what he was doing there with that whole like, oh, I can kill Trinity whenever I want. You can't do anything about it because you're too slow. And it's like, mm-hmm. They were trying to make you feel that like, oh no, he's going to have to overcome this at some point. He doesn't.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to overcome it ever. It just doesn't become a thing when it needs to be. And then, you know what happens at the end with Anderson. Not Anderson, with Agent Smith. Like, so what was the point of doing that and making him feel helpless or something he needs to attain? Like, I need to get stronger again so I can save Trinity. No, that doesn't, no, it never
becomes a thing. Let me tell you, Goku would have never let that shit happen.
I was hoping for like a Superman moment where he does it another time and then he's like, oh, I'm faster now, bitch. And he just fucking does the thing.
Right.
That would have been cool.
Right.
She'd be like, oh, shit. He's unlocking his power again.
That would have been really fucking cool. Mm-hmm. They dropped every ball that they fucking had.
they
had an Easter egg basket
ball.
And they just fucking oh shit.
Oh shit. Oh sorry.
Kevin with the chili from The Office.
They dropped every ball.
Can we talk about new Pretty Boy Smith? The fucking King George from Hamilton. I was waiting for him to bust out into song, man. That would have made my day.
It would have been better. It would have been better than what you did in the movie.
Look, I thought he was good with what he was doing. I thought everyone was good. I thought he was good saying the lines. I thought,
yeah, I don't hate
because probably
he's
because he's younger, the choreography seemed to come naturally to him in that fight. I thought he played well. I thought he had come into the same diction as Hugo Weaving. Obviously, you want it to be Hugo Weaving, but I didn't have a problem with him.
I think he did his
as
best.
An actor.
I just have a problem with him. I mean, I don't have a problem with him, the actor. I think he did a great job, but just why make him Smith? Why not just make him a new person?
There's no need.
That was a thing I wrote down on my notes. It's like, why did the machines keep Smith around? Like, why is he still in the Matrix?
The whole point of the original trilogy was that Agent Smith was too powerful for them, and that was the only...
I thought they got rid of him. I thought Neo did this thing.
Exactly.
He got vaporized.
The whole cycle of, like, them trying to create a more perfect Matrix and killing Zion over and over and over again. The whole point is that, like, Neo's generation was different, was that Smith was this X factor that the machines didn't know how to deal with him either. And that Neo was the only one that could beat him. And so for that reason, he has to be gone. But to just bring him back so lazily, and like he's just chilling in the Matrix now for fun? This man assimilated every living being on the planet now that's him around. How is he just going to walk around?
What are his motives even? Like, I don't know.
Well, okay, so like from what they say is his motives is, it's the same thing. He wants to get out again.
Just get out then, Smith. Just get out. Then go.
So why isn't he just assimilating
the door's
every
right
person?
There.
Damn.
Why is he young? Why is he not Hugo Weaving?
What's that?
Why would you take an iconic character that was one of the most iconic villains of all time and recast him?
To play devil's advocate, I think, which is some of my biggest problems, replacing Smith, replacing Morpheus, and still calling them Smith and Morpheus, I think that those actors just didn't want to do the movie. They were like, this is going to be a bad movie. I think that's what I'm choosing to believe. And they're like, well, we're not going to change the script at all, so... we're just going to recast the characters.
Right.
I hate that they brought back Agent Smith at all. Like, if it's not Hugo,
totally.
We'll
agree.
Talk about Morpheus in a second, because there is some maybe background lore that we have to take into consideration.
Okay,
but with
I would
Smith,
love some background. Background is great. I would love
but for
some
Smith,
of that.
I do wonder if it was like maybe a COVID casting thing and Hugo Weaving was trapped in Australia or wherever or wherever he's trapped in England. I don't know. But either way, Smith just randomly shows up at the end of this movie like a deus ex machina and is just like, oh yeah, I'm here and I can kick everyone's ass in slow-mo too. And then he just leaves?
Yes.
He's the reluctant hero for some reason, randomly. Like, he's like the rival Shadow the Hedgehog-ass character.
Yeah.
But they don't do anything to lead up to that. So you're just confused. Like, it wasn't even like a Snape kind of situation from Harry Potter where it's like, oh, you think he's the bad guy this whole time throughout the movie and then he becomes a good guy. It's like, no, he barely even exists in the fucking movie. And then he shows up and it's like, pow, pow, pow. Ha, ha. Got your back, brother. I'm out. What the fuck?
Also, he can change his forms like a normal agent as well, but I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
No.
I hate this movie.
But speaking of Morpheus, so he's dead. A real life Morpheus is dead. They have a statue of him. Or is he? They don't actually say. They just say he's gone, and there's a statue. One, Neo, you'd think he would be like, what happened to him? But no, he doesn't care.
It's fine.
And two, so I guess maybe it's the Matrix Online canon is real canon and Morpheus did, in fact, die.
Lazily.
I don't know.
Let's say he's dead. I'm assuming he is dead.
Yeah, which led us to a character, which is fine. Niobe, Jada Pinkett's back. I like the fact that she had like moved on, like she never thought like Morpheus did. Like she says, like how Morpheus was like he believed in Neo too much that he couldn't advance, and that's what was his problem was. I kind of like that idea because this is one of the things that I actually liked about the movie that advanced the story in a way. Was I like that they now work with some of the machines?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I like that improvement. I thought that was a cool thing. They have like these sentient machines that like help them, and they have this whole bio sky, and they can grow food that doesn't taste like piss.
You know
shit
where they
anymore.
Got that from?
Mass Effect.
I was about to say
it gave me the resolution that Mass Effect 3 never did.
They have the Paragon responses unlocked, so you can pick both Tally and Legion. But yeah, I mean that was if I can say one positive thing about this movie after going on a tirade the whole time, that was the only thing. That I liked was, well, okay, two things. A, none of the crew members died, even though they were generic, but still it was nice to like have that flip from the first one. And B, that the city where the humans and machines are working together and hopefully working towards a better future where they, you know, where we put aside our differences. That was it. That was the only positive out of this entire movie.
I did like the fact, well, I kind of like it, where like they talk about the reason that this war is still going is because the machines eventually started fighting each other for energy.
You know, I would love to see more of that. That was really cool.
And there's even that flashback of young Jada Pinkett, like in that weird war. It's almost like a Terminator world, it looks like, when she's out there scouting and she's watching the machines fight each other. I kind of want to see more of that than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Let's do the animatrix on that one.
That's why I'm like, there's interesting concepts in here, but I think they just, maybe they thought this was going to be a one and done, even though it's clearly set up for a sequel. Maybe they're like, there's no way we're getting a sequel, so let's just cram as much crap as we can into it while we can. I don't know. I really don't know.
I think it was all of the answers, all the possibilities. They were just like, yeah, just throw it in there. Put it in there too. Why not? Oh, you have an idea too? Someone in the back? Yep, we'll write that in there. Why not? Fuck it.
What'd you say, Jerry? You want the machines to help the humans? Ah, that's pretty good. All right, we'll do that too.
Let's film it. See what it looks like. Oh, we didn't edit that out. Oh. We didn't edit any of the film. Uh-oh. So it's just 2 hours and 30 minutes of nothing? Oh,
shit. you want Smith to come back and he'll be a good guy. Okay, sure. Fuck it.
Hugo Weaving.
Is it Hugo Weaving?
Hugo.
No?
We can't get him on the phone. I don't know what to do. He's not picking up our calls anymore. I don't know.
But speaking of recurring characters, most of us kind of like had an idea that the Oracle died in this purge that they talk about, which that's interesting. Mm-hmm. But it seems like there's basically Oracle 2.0 in the little girl from the third Matrix. Ugh. She's grown up, which made me question, so programs can grow?
over 60 years, it's kind of like dogs. And the time of 60 years, they grow about 20 years. Yeah.
Okay, this is another like fucking just whiff by this movie, another drop ball, okay, of all of the drop balls, is that they introduce her when Neo's like he's questioning reality and stuff, and she's reading Alice in Wonderland, and she has the glasses, she looks super cool, she looks mysterious, this person has the answers, right? And they do nothing with her. And then she pops back up at the end, and she's like this angelic, like very NPC energy.
Nah, man, she's got the plan.
Like, oh, this is the plan.
That's almost good foreshadowing.
Almost.
I'm not mad about that. I'm not mad at all.
No, because like it seems like she had such potential as a character, and they just fucking squandered it. And then she comes up in the end with no charisma, no like personality whatsoever. Just like that white knight, kind of like, yes, I will help you, and I'm here to, you know, I'm the robot.
That's what I'm saying. She's like the Oracle, man.
And I'll get you in the back door. Like, bullshit, dude. Then you know what? If that's all she's going to do in this movie, then don't fucking tease me when, like, she has the glasses and she's sitting there giving, you know, Neo some eyes. Like, I know what you're looking for. And, like, reading Alice in Wonderland. Like, why couldn't she get involved earlier in the movie to help him get out? I don't know. That was a major whiff for me, because she just came in and, like, and then that whole convoluted plan in the end was just like such like, what do you say? Just like
the
regular
plan,
ass shit.
I had to watch it again to make sense of it.
I didn't know what was going on there.
There's still one weird aspect that it doesn't fully make sense. And it's the whole Bugs has the same sort of brain activity as Trinity. That's how they get her out, by putting her consciousness and connecting it. And what?
I don't know.
They got the same brain?
It just bogged down to them having some like interlaced scenes of them both screaming together, and that was it. I was like, oh,
but
okay.
That's it. There's nothing else to it, and it's just such a lazy idea, because like everything else kind of makes sense, where they say like, Morpheus can go in because he's a part machine, so he can like kind of dematerialize into these little beads and sneak into the pod vagina that gets Trinity out. But then they all get there by a ship, and they have to hook Bugs up to get to, because they can't unplug Trinity before she wants to leave the Matrix, or she'll die.
But she doesn't need the red pill. She doesn't need the red pill either.
You could just leave the Matrix whenever you want now. There's no point in those pills. It doesn't matter.
Here's what happened.
You just hop out a window and you're out of the Matrix.
Here's what happened. They saw Raiders of the Lost Ark and they're like, how can we fit this into the movie also? little swap-a-roo.
I hated it.
But it did lead to the whole plan. It led to probably my favorite moment in the whole movie, and I will admit, like, it actively made me start to get teary-eyed, and I got caught up in the emotion of it. It's that moment right before Neo and Trinity touch, and, like, it's all slow-mo, the music swelling, Neil Patrick Harris is like, no, don't let them touch, and it's and it's like intercutting with old footage from the past movies.
Yeah.
I will admit that moment got me, and I'm like, do it, just touch, and, like, blow shit up, do something, please. Like, that was actually a good moment for me.
Yeah, mostly because we hadn't seen anything cool happen yet.
But... maybe that might be why.
But yeah, I totally agree with you. Yeah, I just please touch, blow something
like
up.
I like the idea that like there is this mystical magic that is love.
Love.
Because it's
a
good
answer.
Callback to mm-hmm. the first movie where, because mm-hmm. they don't even explain
about.
It in that first movie when you think about it. When she kisses Neo and tells him, I loved you, it makes him come back to life. There's no explanation for that in that first
movie. Love.
And we all just took it as what it was. Mm-hmm. So I was okay with that concept being expanded here and be like, it's the two of them. They're the one. There's not just one.
That was cool.
And I love the idea that Trinity is the one that first flies, and she's way more connected to the Matrix. Because in theory, she should be. She's way more badass than Neo initially. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so I'm 100% in favor of that. And I thought that was actually really cool. And also, because I knew it would make a lot of people real mad and think this movie is woke. Shut up. They're all woke. Shut up.
I'm glad she got at least like one scorpion kick in.
My favorite parts of the movie were probably the idea of the love is more powerful than anything. As a weapon mm-hmm. and as like kinetic energy powering these this machine civilizations.
I do think it's an interesting thing.
And then the idea at the very end where there's two ones and they're both flying up and they grab hands in the very last frame. I was like, that was fucking cool as shit. But the rest of the movie was not very cool. So
It was cool where they just come to Neil Patrick Harris and they're like, he's like, oh, what do you want now? And they're like, we literally just came here to flex on you. Like, like you literally brought us back to life. And now, like, because we were both dead and you brought us back to life and gave us a second chance. So really, like, thanks, bro.
I don't understand their new power to snap time back. I don't understand. Is that just
Matrix?
Because they're so the one? Yes. I don't know.
She's the two, so she can do whatever she wants.
She's the two.
She's the two. So, like, that was like, okay, I get it. And now they're going to rewrite the world in whatever way they want, sequel, but also, they're not going to make, I don't think they're making
it. Oh, no, I mean, the movie bombed, so.
Like, I like their out. I like how she came in so Neo looked with her outfit. I thought she looked dope, and them flying together was awesome, but I'm just like, mm-hmm. I love how Neo just takes the backseat holding the cat, and he's just like,
you got this, babe.
She's the boss, bro. She's gonna kick your jaw off. She's gonna slit your throat. She's gonna do whatever she wants with you.
You guys know what was not awesome? That fucking cover of the Rage Against the Machine song. What the fuck was that, dude?
You didn't like it?
I clipped the audio real bad right there. That shit sucked, dude. How
oh, no.
awful. When I turned into a ska brass band. Jesus Christ.
I didn't notice. Man. I was so ready to be done with the movie. I didn't really notice.
They replayed the final song for what was that? The first movie when he flies away?
Yeah.
And it was Rage Against the Machine, of course.
I will say,
okay.
That's another thing that this music is not memorable.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. And maybe it's because it's not the same composer.
They used two or three original songs, and those are the only songs that I was like, all right.
Yeah, but everything else, because that original soundtrack is, like, iconic. Yeah. Like, you remember what it sounds like when you hear it. Mm-hmm. But now it's just, like, it's just so generic now, and, eh.
At the end of the day, this movie is just generic. That's the issue with the movie. It's a generic movie. Any other action movie, but almost worse. I would have rather watched a Rock movie, to be honest.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up.
It'd be more entertaining.
Fast and Furious, at least, is funny.
That's
it knows
fair.
What it
That's
is.
Fair.
That's the thing.
Hey, this was funny, if anything at all.
This movie just didn't know what it was doing or what it wanted to be. And I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like they were putting a middle finger up to Warner Brothers for making them make this movie or something, because it was so much, like, just randomness. Yeah.
It's possible. I don't know. But, like, I would like to think that just because it excuses this movie from being so bad. But at the same time, I would want to hope that those people are professional and try to actually make something. You
make
know?
Something
but,
good. Especially if someone gives you $200 million to do so.
Right.
The only other explanation is, like, when they made the first movie, they're like, maybe fresher on the scene. Maybe, like, this is your kind of chance to prove yourself and you do a really good job. You're really sharp. You're really focused. And I feel like this happened with, like, really big directors and people that get very successful in Hollywood. They just get surrounded. Like, I think for me, a good example is, like, Lord of the Rings, right? Like, Peter Jackson did such a phenomenal job with the original trilogy. And then when he comes around to make The Hobbit, I feel like maybe they're surrounded with too many yes men, or maybe too much, like, not enough, like, they're just not sharp enough, right?
Well, he didn't want to do, like, it is the problem. So it clearly was like, all right, fine, I'll do it. Like, he Guillermo del Toro was going to do that. So that's a clear indication that he didn't want to do it. Yeah.
So, I mean, same thing here, right? Like,
yeah, maybe
you caught lightning in a bottle once, and then the studios try to recapture the lightning it was most of the time they can get like close. This wasn't even on the same stratosphere. Yeah. Like, I mean, no. I don't know. That's why I think like it was into bad on purpose.
I think it's an important distinction to make as well that one of the two Wachowskis didn't want to do this. And right. She's noted saying that she didn't want to do this because she didn't feel a need to revisit this. She was like, it was a part of our career. We did it. I think we did a great job. I don't think there's another reason to make this again. So it almost makes me wonder, like, maybe it was a Warner Brothers thing. I don't think it was a Lana thing. And one was able to get out of it. And they were like, well, someone's got to make this movie. Lana is just like looking and like, damn it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if no one was bullied into making the movie. Somebody was just like, I really want to make another Matrix movie for some reason.
Right.
Like, I could see it going either way, honestly.
Yeah, the cash grab makes sense. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Like, nostalgia is huge. Yeah. Especially right now, especially during the pandemic.
Keanu Reeves and cash grab. That's all you need.
Right, right. So they would have thought it was all green lights no matter what. It's unfortunate that they managed to fumble the bag so poorly.
And it is a thing that could be a franchise. Like, if you built it correctly, you could have had another trilogy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you could have had, you know, you could have done great things with it, but...
Honestly,
if you just do
I want
lazy
them to take another pun at it. Who cares? Just do it. Make another one. Who gives a shit?
Pretend this one doesn't exist, though. But then take another pun at it. And just do the Star Wars thing. Just make a completely different characters. Throw in a few Niobes, old-ass people. Just put them in there, but then make them old as shit. Do it, you know, a Legend of Korra kind of thing where it's like, oh, I know that's Katara, but she ain't about to do shit. Yeah. You know, I know that's...
That's not Neo.
Make
or
it
Trinity.
Carrie Ann Moss. Just make it Trinity. Fuck it.
I can be down with it if it's Trinity.
Yeah.
If it's a brand new one, I don't know. Like, I hear what you're saying, but I don't know.
Yeah.
You just have two Bugs, nostalgia pieces.
I'd probably
like
be okay
random,
with it. I don't know.
Yeah, if it was Bugs Bunny, don't make it Bugs Bunny. Don't make her name Bugs Bunny.
It's too late.
That's so disrespectful. Late. But yeah, it'd be super easy. Star Wars did really well because even though it was a completely new story, it was something new. It still had enough of that in it to be like, oh, that's Luke Skywalker. You know what I mean? So you still get the nostalgia feeling without having to do this weird retcon shit that they had to do with the movie.
You're not wrong.
That they ruined. So it's like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to cash grab right. Like, once again, we're feeding you ideas and you're not using them. And I deserve a paycheck. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, guys. So I don't know how much more I can talk about this bad movie, but in the spirit of being a great podcast that gives other studios great ideas, how would you guys fix this movie and or make the sequels a better version of themselves? Ooh. Devin, you go first.
I need some time to... Okay, first step, step one, don't make it. Step one, think about doing this and then just don't. Maybe don't.
Just think about it really hard and then just rewatch 1 through 3.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Call it a day.
Have the thought and then erase it.
Maybe something similar to what you were spitballing like, you know, a while ago, Alex, like some like a time travel kind of thing where Neo actually has to like set himself up to be the one or something, or like maybe he sets up Morpheus or something like that from the shadows. I would like to see like more of like how the world was healed and like, you know, I don't know. I would have had Neo like full power the whole time and like do some stuff in the Matrix, some cool action sequences, but who knows? It's a tough question.
I would have done more or less what I was saying several months ago. A real-ass Matrix, not a program Matrix. You can recast him if Lawrence Fishburne doesn't want to do it, whatever. But a real human Morpheus, it's like his origin story. We see him meeting the Oracle for the first time, him getting out of the Matrix, chasing the rabbit, and being like, I need to find the one. Like, I'm this person, but I can't save everybody. I need to find the one that's going to be able to save everybody, to be like as enlightened as I am. And then he does that. It's the Neo that we all know and love, who's trapped making video games. And then they all come out together. And right off the bat, 2/3 of the way in or 1/2 of the way in, Neo's back to full power. He can fly. He can do everything he needs. He meets up with Trinity. They high five and it's a fucking explosion.
It's a fucking explosion.
I mean, funny enough, like, this was like rumored a couple years ago before this was Warner Brothers was going to do a young Morpheus movie with Michael B. Jordan in the role.
Wow.
And then I think that got scrapped because this all started to happen. I don't know what the
interesting
how or what, but apparently that was going to happen. If I were to do it, you'd have to go about it one of two ways. Was either go full satire with it. Don't do this half-ass satire shit you're doing with it. Like, go full ass with it. Like, fully acknowledge it. Or do something similar to what you did with this. Because, I think they're interesting concepts. But throw away all the crap, all the video game meta shit. Throw that out and just focus on the advancement of the machine world and then Neo and Trinity as the ones. Focus on those two concepts. Make the action better.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like, simplify the story, goddamn. Stop trying to... I get it. You're the Matrix. You have to be confusing as fuck. But it's like, no, just simplify it and just make a good movie.
100%. For me, what I would do with it is, one... we talked about the machine world and everything about that. Super interesting. Io, Zion, how Zion got destroyed, how Io exists. Why do we only see two buildings of that fucking place, even though we were there? And they talked about how many advancements we made. They're like, see all these advancements we made. And they didn't show any advancements. They showed strawberries. Yeah, and then they dipped. Yeah. And that was the last time we saw... last time we saw that world again, we kept seeing that same fucking cliff that Niobe was hanging off of. 18 different scenes. And then that was it. So maybe focus a little bit more, because... Revolutions, that was what it was called, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
The third one focused very hard on the machine world. Yeah, and they were all over that place. And it wasn't as interesting only because that movie's convoluted as fuck. But show me more of that, because it could be interesting, and they had something interesting there that they didn't use.
They spent way
too much time, hanging out with homeboy in the Matrix, just showing random scenes of random nice-looking places. Cool, whatever. Fuck it. I don't care about your nice apartment. Second, if I'm not going to do that and focus more on that outside world and more about how they're rebuilding and what's happened post, you know, after death of Jesus, like, interesting fact, then just make it a fucking video game again. Just go ahead and take another stab at that.
They're in year 60 AD right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what it is. It's basically what happened after the death of Neo. This is, they said, when the guy was like, oh, I'm a Neo historian. And it's like, oh, that's funny. Maybe we should talk more about that. Never again. Yeah. I don't even think he had another line. Mm-hmm. After that. And it's like, that'd be really interesting to, like, go into, like, a church of Neo or something. You just see, like, some weird depiction of Neo that's not Neo, but what people thought he looked like or something like that.
Right.
Stuff like that could be so interesting to explore.
He's hanging on a cross and he's always white all the time.
Yeah, right. But instead they had three people say, hey, man, huge fan. And he just dips.
Right.
And that's the end of it.
Like a fan. Like, no, this guy would be treated like a Messiah.
He's the Messiah.
Like, I mean, he basically was in the originals.
And that'd be really
cool. But it's okay, guys, because they got that little BB-8 robot next to them, who's their little buddy, you know?
Right.
Because Star Wars had a friendly robot.
Those robots that flew around that was like the thing where you put your face in or your hand in that, like, you know what I'm talking about? Like the hand, like the thing, I don't know. Yeah. It like moves your, like, I can't remember what it's called, but you know,
imagine
that's what those people look like.
Being Christian your whole life, because most of these people weren't even alive when Neo did Neo things. It's been 60 years. And then you see Jesus in real life. And then
you met Jesus.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be wild? Wouldn't that be the talk of the fucking town? Instead, we have two old black ladies go, I know who you are, sugar. And then that was it. And I'm like,
hey, big fan. You did good, kid.
But I guess, to be fair, they did establish that Niobe was like, Morpheus was that zealot. We have grown a group of people that are like, yeah, you're a person who is important, but fuck you, we got shit to deal with.
They all became
so
Jewish.
You're
instead.
Not that special.
Yeah. They picked Judaism. Gotcha.
Put his ass in jail.
Right.
Wait, Alex, I got a better one for you. Okay?
Let's go.
I just thought of a better one. So you know how they got into how the machines were in Civil War? So maybe there were good machines that allied with the humans, and then they had to use Neo to go into the Matrix to free the rest of the humans, and then in the Matrix, the bad machines like. Have all these new ways of like trying to kill the one, right? So they have like stuff that flies, or maybe
zombies.
They have like really good kung fu masters. Yeah, like maybe they do other stuff, but he can still fly around the whole time. He still has all of his powers, and like the action would be awesome. But and it's like more on that the machine Civil War. So you get a little bit of both.
I would love to see more machine Civil War. That sounds cool as hell.
Yeah, we got one scene of Jada Pinkett Smith looking up for what, 3 seconds.
Right,
and that's about where that ended.
Final last notes I just had real quick. I like that Trinity beats the shit out of her own family as soon as they turn into zombies. I thought that was funny.
Well, the husband. She beats up the husband.
Does she not hit her kids? Okay.
No.
Right.
you can't beat kids. Oscar,
they're robots.
They're robots. It's fine.
Golly.
That was a tough thing. Cause like using kids and like making her have a whole fake family, like that is a tough thing to turn your back on.
Yeah.
If, even if you are questioning reality, like, so that was props to Trinity for waking up.
No, fuck them kids.
That, Neil Patrick Harris, Neil Patrick Harris is the ultimate gaslighter, I wrote down. and then, was that the dude who's the CEO of Epic, right? The one who talks about, I think kids just, we got swatted, a 14-year-old pissed about an update when they're trying to be meta about games again, right before Neo meets Morpheus in the bathroom. I'm pretty sure one of those dudes was like the CEO of Epic Games and Fortnite or some shit.
You're probably right with the Unreal Engine and all that kind of shit.
In real life?
Yeah, in real life. I think he's the one, he has that line where he's talking about, like, they're like, what's going on? He's like, there's probably some 14-year-old swatted us or got pissed about an update. Real meta shit, whatever.
That's
funny. I hate that.
And then I wanted to talk about the Morpheus costume hour, because goddamn, his outfits are something else in this movie.
He was really feeling himself.
Loud.
He pulled full jive turkey on every single outfit he chose. Got, like, man came out looking like fucking Shaft.
He got like
a full blue suit dancing around.
And a full orange suit, and then he's got that red dojo.
So
this Morpheus is so like loosey goosey in his dialogue, and he's like,
oh my god,
oh, so
he reminded me of what was it, Zahn in Loki. Spoilers, the guy that comes in the very end of Loki.
Oh, yeah. Very timey-wimey.
Oh, yeah.
Very nothing matters. What's up, guys?
Right.
Like, hey, I'm the cool-ass program. I'm a program and a human. What's up?
He literally made fun of, like, how cool Morpheus was in the first one. He's like, hello, Neo.
Yeah.
Haha. That's
so
funny.
As he's, like walking out of a toilet.
Give me that. That's what I want in this movie.
He was both my favorite character and my worst, like, my least favorite character.
Yeah.
Like, he made no sense at all, but the actor was pretty cool. Like, I feel like
the actor did a great job.
I agree.
But Lord, that character was so badly written.
Yeah. Oh, man. We could talk about this movie forever. It's, I'm not mad I watched it, because I was just too curious, but I'm glad.
I'm a little mad I
watched
it.
I told you guys after I saw it, I'm glad I didn't pay money to go see it at the theaters.
Yeah.
Good old HBO Max.
Wait, I want to mention, there's one last thing I want to mention. The end, like, climax when they're meeting in the coffee shop was one of the goofiest moments of this movie to me. Like, you don't like establish a perimeter with like all these FBI agents you have. You literally just stack them in like it's a nightclub. Like, you exceed the maximum capacity of this coffee
like
shop
sausages.
By about 500 people.
COVID, actually. Excuse me, COVID.
Yeah. No, but like they're just standing there like shoulder to shoulder, and then the human crew for some reason goes in there and just goes up to the bar and stands shoulder to shoulder with the FBI. And then when they all start fighting, they basically just like shuffling around, like shoulder, like you're trying to get a drink at a nightclub,
right?
You know, like a crowded place. Like, it's fucking, that was so damn goofy. Like, and they didn't have none of those guys had guns.
Yeah,
like,
nah. Neo was taking all the bullets. Remember, he had that. He was using.
He stopped all
but
the
like,
bullets.
Seeing that one like human crew member with like the big round glasses. I think he was like a foot taller than everybody else around him. He just like awkwardly just stands in there like, yeah, we're the human crew. We look so cool. It's like you're surrounded by like 20 FBI agents for no reason at all. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. That was so goofy how they set that up.
They didn't even fight. They just kind of push each other.
Yeah, yep. The action was better. This
literally,
been
it was a mosh pit.
It was like a scuffle. It wasn't a fight. It was like a, you know, a little scuffle, a little brawl, a bar brawl.
I mean, those are most of my notes. Does everyone have all of their notes settled? Do they feel, I mean, they don't feel good about themselves, but
I don't know how I feel anymore. It's not good.
Keanu Reeves can't act. I said what I said.
Oh,
oh.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to lie. I questioned it a bit in this movie too, Brian.
Did not sell that one. I think John Wick's fine, but also it's kind of easier because he's just a brooding character that doesn't have to say but so much.
Right.
These line deliveries were suspect.
That's fair.
Wow.
I love Keanu Reeves, and I wish him only the best in life because apparently he's a really awesome dude, and I just love him being a good person. Mm-hmm. But boy, you ain't exactly hitting anymore.
Right.
You never were. I mean, he was, I guess it's the thing about being the kind of like, he's always been the awkward guy in every movie that he plays. He's like awkward and confused. Mm-hmm. He's really good at playing that character. but he can't be awkward and confused anymore because he's supposed to be the one. So he's supposed to know a lot. And they still try to make him awkward and confused because he's been lost in time or whatever the fuck. But it's still just kind of like, some of the shit, he's like, Carrie Ann Moss is over there acting her ass off.
She's so good.
And he's just like, I still know Kung Fu. And it's like,
oh,
yo,
yeah.
That was the worst.
I forgot about that.
I'm pretty sure my kidney exploded
when
I heard that.
They could have used that line so many times in the past 30 minutes and they used it there. It's like this sequence is already over.
The timing of some of these jokes are just so awful. And I'm just like, y'all didn't really think this one through, did you? Maybe the editing got weird. I don't know.
I do wonder if this is like an editing nightmare. I do honestly wonder that.
I don't think so.
That's exactly that what they wanted.
That did not feel like the problem to me.
It was also like peak, awkward walking Keanu Reeves that you get to like, because he walks kind of weird.
He's a little bouncy.
So like, I feel like every time he walked around in this movie, like just him in the jeans and like the,
when he's got them pajama pants on. Like blazer.
I like those pajama pants. Yeah. His little beanie.
Yeah.
I love his little beanie.
I'm down with bummy Keanu.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
That's how he dresses in New York. That's how you would meet him if you saw him in New York right now.
I can't wait. I'm going to find him.
That train sequence sucked though. But anyways.
I'm done with this. I can't go on. Yeah. I'm done.
Overall, sadly, it did not live up to the hype. It's a bummer. I would still see another one. I will still stand by that. I'll see another one. Because I think Keanu and Carrie Ann Moss are still good.
I can't not watch it.
You're right. They still got me.
Yeah. All right. That's about it. Judge for yourself, listeners. Shall we move on to our final segment of the week?
I guess.
Let's do it. Something better, please.
All right, it's time for our final segment of the week. See you, Alex, which we like to call Free for All, title pending. This is a segment, listeners, where we can kind of do whatever we want. We can recommend something. We can talk about a day. We can take a nap. We can talk about going outside. We can do whatever we want. It's free for all. Who would like to begin?
Brian, I think yours will be better than mine, so I can go quick.
So I got started last time, but that's fine. But yeah, you can go first. Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to tell you guys that I finished the show on Netflix called Archive 81, and it was very good. However, it did bring up a question that I want to ask you all, because I was hoping that it would just be like a self-contained story. And apparently it was like maybe based off a podcast that was like a story, like one of those like old timey. I mean, I think there's more podcasts out here that I just haven't heard any of them myself, but apparently the story was told via podcast. Now, I don't know if that went on either. But in classic Netflix fashion, so the story is like a mystery, and you know, you start and there's all these questions and you want to know so much, and every episode keeps you pretty hooked. And then obviously, you know, the climax happens, you find out the answers to the mysteries, and then the story ends. But they set it up, of course, for a second season. So, but my question is, what kept me hooked on this story was that I didn't know the stuff, right? But now, I really wanted to know what was behind the mystery. But now in the second season, everything has been, when you start off, everything's going to have been defined. You know where you, like, there's no mystery anymore. Mm-hmm. So like, how, you know, do you go back for that or not? And I guess maybe they can try to rebuild a mystery and, you know, start you over again and, you know, solve something else. But once you know how like the magic or, you know, whatever, like the sci-fi element, you know, whatever it is that you found out in season one, and that was the whole, like, what brought you in, I just feel like season two, I'm just going to be not as motivated to pick it up again. So, but it was really good, but it was just like, I just wish that they had just ended it.
Yeah.
Right.
Welcome to capitalist cash grabs. Should they have ended it? Yes. Will they? Never.
Interesting.
Maybe they will end it. I don't know, but they just left it off. It seemed like it was kind of a cliffhanger, but they, like, because they did kind of, like, I don't know, you could just kind of be, you know, it could just be gone and, like, they maybe don't make another season, but I feel like they left it off with a lot, like, a really big question at the end, and it's like, it just seems like they're going to do another one.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
This is Netflix, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right. Why they would open up for a second season.
And then cancel it.
Oh, no. I can see. I mean, what you usually do in stories like that is you just try to create a new mystery. If you said it came from like a podcast or whatever, if it came from like a true story, I'm sure they're just going to start inventing more story. That's what they do with like Orange and New Black was a book. 13 Reasons Why was a book. And that book all took place in one season. So then the next seasons, they just wrote their own shit, created new problems to be solved. Because I mean, that's how you make TV. You have to have a problem to solve it. So I'm sure they'll do something like that. And I'm sure it won't be as good, especially if it's coming from source material and there's no more source material. Yeah. It's usually going to be less than Like, yeah.
And maybe unfortunately.
Sadly, it's very rare where a show, once it goes past the source material, stands right. as well as it did before.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I just think, like, once you solve that, like, once you solve that initial mystery, which is the thing that keeps you hooked, it's like, you know, I don't know, trying to do that again, you know, yeah. so like, I don't know. And like, I don't know if I'm invested enough in the characters to like go back and commit to another season, mm-hmm. but like for the one season, it was very, very good. So I do nice. Highly recommend it, but
nice.
Just know that you might not get the satisfaction you want.
Damn it.
Well, I could go next because mine's somewhat related in the sense that mine is the exact opposite of what Devin had just went through. And I finished a show that was just a one and done. It was based off a book and it ended and I don't believe they're doing anymore.
Love it.
It's called Station 11. It is an HBO Max show. It's got Mackenzie Davis as the lead. Some people might know her. She was in like the most recent Terminator movie. She was in Blade Runner. She was in that show Halt and Catch Fire that I never watched on AMC. Bunch of stuff. She's really phenomenal. She's really good. That was the biggest draw for me is because I think she's really good. And also Himesh Patel is in it. And some people might know him. He's been in a couple things. He was in that movie Yesterday where he writes the Beatles songs and yada, yada, yada. he's also really good. It's an interesting show and it's based off a book as well. It's an apocalyptic show. It could be a bit triggering. It is about a world that is plagued by a flu pandemic and 99.9% of the world dies. I will say that. To be fair, they shot the first two episodes, maybe not the first two, but they shot two episodes before the pandemic, which is very interesting. And they had to shoot the rest months, maybe a year later with COVID. So I think that's a really interesting twist that mm-hmm. they had to deal with. So yeah, just be aware of that if you are. I did not know what the show was going into it, and I was like, oh boy.
No.
but yeah, so it's about that, but it also there's a lot. I don't want to spoil too much because there are some time jumps. The main two focuses are year zero or year one, whatever, and then year 20, and it's just it's a very interesting version of an apocalypse. It's very art focused, which you don't see a whole lot of. Mm-hmm. You see Mackenzie Davis's character. She is in a troupe of actors and people called the Traveling Symphony. They're like the main people of year 20. And it's just kind of it's an interesting plot that kind of weaves in these different things and narratives. And I will say, as a whole, I really enjoyed the show. It's really good. I think it's if you enjoy this type of thing, you should go ahead and watch it. It's only, I think, 10 episodes. Most of them are less than an hour. But my favorite characters are Himesh Patel's character, Jeevan, and his journey. Again, no spoilers. With other characters and his whole journey, I think was the thing I attached to the most. There are some flaws for me personally by the end and throughout that I'm like, some lingering questions and some interesting choices made. But overall, I really enjoyed the show. And yeah, I think you should check it out if you enjoy this type of thing. But again, can be very triggering if you're not ready for this type of thing.
I definitely want to get into that, especially if it's like nice and self-contained.
Yes, absolutely. It is a one and done.
And this also seems like a different take on the apocalypse. I'm tired of the... I mean, it's all survival, of course, but it's really interesting that, because I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast before, but it seems like when people don't tend to worry about money, like the richest of the rich people, they tend to go towards art.
Right.
It's a funny thing how that goes. And people try to be, you know, actors and writers and, you know, visual artists. It usually happens when people don't have to worry about money. So seeing that kind of on a set and on that kind of like setting seems kind of interesting that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is.
People are choosing art over, you know, capitalism all over again.
Yeah, that's mine.
That's cool. Nice. I have a rant. It's mostly about...
Yes!
It's mostly about one video game, but it also kind of goes into video games in general. And I know we've talked about this a little bit on the podcast, but today it has pissed me off to the point where... and I still have the multiplayer.
Wait, let me guess real quick. Is it about Halo?
It's about Halo. So me and Devin want to talk about Halo together, specifically the campaign. And I had lost my save file about last month or so as I was at the very last boss fight. because there's a stupid glitch in there. Well, sometimes it thinks that two people are playing at the same time. And then because of that, the shit breaks, crashes, and then you can no longer load your save ever again. This has happened since the game first came out.
How can it think two people are playing when they haven't even installed a co-op campaign yet?
And that's, don't worry, this is where my rant is going. This is where my fucking rant is going. So I was like, no, Devin, it's fine. Like, it's cool. Like, I still want to see what the ending is like. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to play through all again. I was having a lot of fun anyway. Why not? So put my little big boy pants on. Try it again. Tell me why I get 75% through the fucking game.
Wait, you started over again?
All the way over again. That's at least 10 hours of gameplay. And I did that again. That's 20 hours of gameplay in this stupid-ass campaign that is not that great. Not that great.
Oh, my God.
And what the fuck happens?
Oh, my God.
I get this random fucking stutter when I first log in. Can't see Master Chief. I quit the game, come back in, and my save is back at 0.00% at the repository. The very first level.
You are cursed. Oh, my God.
This is my thing, guys. This is my thing that makes me so mad about video games. Is I'm so tired of thinking that it's okay to release an unfinished video game.
Yeah.
I'm tired of fucking game companies thinking that there's no solution at this time. They haven't even talked about it. They just said, be worried about using the continue button when you hit it. Instead of hitting continue, hit load game. That's all you're going to tell me on how to fix this problem? That's a glaring issue in your $60. This game costs $60. Today, campaign, it's been over a month. The first things that they're going to start changing in this game do not happen until mid-February. And that's why I was kind of going off of just like, I don't like the fact that they just sell you games that are in their early access for full price and think that's okay. Mm-hmm. But we're in this weird place right now where
why they put it on Game Pass.
Maybe. Like, it's crazy that every company can just get away with that and it's just seen as okay. Yeah. Every time I see someone complain about Halo specifically, someone always pops into some random comment, some Twitter feed or something. Bloop. Well, guys, the game's still in its infancy. This game has been in production for 6 years.
You can't say a game's in its infancy it's out.
It's an out game that you paid money for. It's not a beta. Yeah. It's not an early access. No, this game is out officially.
No
any cheat system in the multiplayer right now. They don't ban cheaters. In order to ban cheaters, you don't get a report button. There's no report button on there. I've been watching the same motherfucker walking around fucking with an aimbot and wall hacks for the last 3 weeks. Still unbanned. Right. And I sent videos because you have to send video proof to show if someone's cheating. They don't do the work themselves. You do all the work for them.
And they should pay you to be doing their job for them.
Am I not QA? Like, hello? I don't... It's just shit like that where it's just unacceptable. And I'm tired of people fucking simping. Like, a skin in that game costs $20. $20 to get a skin to put fucking cat ears on your goddamn Spartan. And you're telling me that I should give them a break. They're trying really hard. Suck the entire left side of my asshole. Like, are you kidding me? That's ridiculous.
I mean, me personally, this is even more hilarious because listeners, you don't know the backstory of Brian's miscues when it comes to his game saves being corrupted or lost forever. I know two separate occasions where Brian has lost the save. One,
Fallout. And
I watched this man play the first like hour of Fallout 3, die, and realized autosave didn't work and none of it saved. And then the second time would be he's at the very end of Fable. And what? I don't even know what happened. Did
I wanted to
corrupted?
Have a little bit of fun because it's Fable. A motherfucker looked at me the wrong way. And I was like, you know what? You're going to catch this dick. And then I beat the shit out of him, as you can do in Fable. But I was playing, like, you know, the good guy or whatever. So I was like, let me reload. The game had auto-saved.
Just ruined his
so
whole
after
game.
I'd gone on like a fucking town wide I don't know goddamn purge
everyone.
I was the epidemic that got saved, so I had no more people in my town at the very end after I saved them from poverty and lowered taxes and helped them buy homes for themselves. I basically created socialism and then murdered my entire community afterwards after solving the issue.
It's a true tragedy.
Oh my God, my face hurts.
I never beat that game. To this day, I haven't beaten Fable 3.
Oh, God. You were plagued, bro. I can't believe it.
My brother and I would Skyrim, like he would make sure autosave was turned off, and then he would just start like doing the wabbajack all around any town in Skyrim, and just like having the guards like, you know, fighting each other, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Uh-huh. But he always was very careful to turn autosave off first, so that he could come back.
Smart man, smart man. I learned that the hard way.
That is rough.
I don't even think that's a game that you can like have multiple saves with. So for some reason, like I couldn't even get my shit back. Like,
oh, yeah. That sucks. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So Halo, because I mean, when I was in the final boss fight of Halo Infinite, I got like yeeted through a wall and like they couldn't see me. They couldn't kill me, but I was like still alive and I didn't fall off the map. So I'm just sitting there like behind a wall and I can't do anything. So I was like, okay, like, let me just, you know, reload the last save. Like, as existed in every single Halo game before. There's no reload last, like there's no like go back to last checkpoint. Like every Halo
there's no checkpoint.
You have
it's
to go.
Weird the way
it
they
says the only option is to restart level.
Yeah.
Oh,
so you can, the levels are long, like they're not short levels.
Yeah. Exactly.
Wait. So are there checkpoints in this
not
game or
go
no?
All the way back. So I just seppuku'd myself off of a cliff and then and then I reloaded like and then I well I, actually no I couldn't kill myself so I had to quit the game and then I just came back in at the checkpoint
and
it worked but still
it
like they,
fine.
It's
oh,
just
I
not.
See.
This game is just not as polished as it should have
There's
been.
There's no polish.
So it's an open world game. So once you get to certain parts of the game, that's where it starts doing the autosave part. So it doesn't like autosave so much when you're just walking around. But once you get to like, oh, this is the part where we know a boss is supposed to show up, they'll save there, things like that.
Gotcha.
But some of these levels are long as shit. It'd be like a couple hours. If you get fucked like that and you have to restart the entire level, you're restarting those couple of hours.
That was the thing. That last one, you're walking around like Forerunner. I mean, like, I don't know what part. Was it in the final boss fight where you first saved?
The first time was in the final boss. Okay, it was the cutscene right before. And then the second time was after the command spire.
Oh my goodness.
I think that was after all the Forerunner stuff and everything.
But like, you literally just don't want to do that level all over again. And especially, like, how many... Okay, wait. So on your second playthrough, how many of, like, the bosses and, like...
All of them. Like, once the again, value... I still did all of them. 100% of them all over again.
Did you do, like, the high-value targets and, like,
yep.
the...
All of that. I got every single file.
Wow.
I got every single fucking repository. I did all of it all over again.
So
I
you
go straight
still
the...
have yet to beat this game campaign.
I still have yet to
campaign.
See the end of this fucking game. I uninstalled it today. I said, Brian. I won't. I just don't.
Oh, no.
This is ridiculous.
You have to see the end of the story so that we can, like, go through
it. You gotta talk about it.
I'll watch it on YouTube. It's just unplayable on PC.
That is so sad,
it's so
dude.
Bad how bad they are making ports on a PC for 343. This game has this weird packet loss issue. They had to fucking completely redo their next tournament because the last tournament, they did it on PCs and no one could fucking play. So you're sitting here like, this is a tournament. This is like shown on TV and stuff. And they're like, oh, got to restart the game again. Someone crashed. All right, got to restart the game again. Someone crashed.
Yeah,
all right, got to restart
bad.
The game again. Someone crashed. I'm like, this is unacceptable. So now the next one, they're playing on Xboxes because it works on Xbox. Like, trash.
Oof.
Game's trash.
That sucks.
Dude.
Yeah,
rough
if it wasn't so mechanically a good game, this game would be a commercial flop. Like, and that's crazy because it should be. Honestly, we got to stop accepting this. It sucks because I know the devs. I don't want to blame the devs because I know they probably had crazy crunch times and had to work 7 days a week, probably 12 hours a day, all that kind of shit. But this game was rushed, and it's shown.
Yeah, that sucks, dude. I'm so sorry. That is rough.
I've had a checkered past with Halo. I didn't play Halo 5 because I didn't think it was going to be a good game, and it wasn't. And this is my first reintroduction to Halo in a long time, and this is leaving a very sour taste in my mouth.
Yikes. Yeah, I bet. Ugh.
It's not good.
Oh, man, that's rough.
It's okay. Between getting cheated, I have a lot of fun games in ranked. But, you know, that happens every 3 or 4 games. I get to meet one dude over and over again.
Ugh. Hopefully they'll get their shit together, but I don't know.
February 15th, I guess.
Oof.
We'll check back on Halo Infinite a year from now.
A year.
Yeah, we should.
After launch.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's about it, listeners. Don't forget, you can email us at thefortressof@gmail.com. Fortress spelled FOUR. Feel free to send us any emails or questions or concerns or recommendations or anything about the show you'd like to let us know. Also, you can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Fortress Of and The Fortress Of YouTube channel. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell your grandma. Tell your cat. Go into a Halo lobby and tell everyone there, even the cheaters. Tell them and then tell them to leave.
You can also follow me at facebook.com/ITZ, by the way. You can also follow me on Instagram as ITZ_ by the way, or you can follow me on twitch.tv/bytheWayX. Devin looked at me real weird when I was saying that, so that confused me. I was like, did I misspeak? Do I know who I am?
Well, I was just trying to tell the people my thing, which is...
Well,
not,
Devin,
not...
I was going to say, because it's about to be your birthday,
mm-hmm.
I think you should be allowed to say 3 letters of your Instagram.
Okay, well, I forgot the last three.
Any stuff. Three letters, not in this necessarily the right order.
Okay.
D, so B,
D and
G.
L are in there because that's my initials. And then I think J, which is my middle initial.
All right, that's it. You can't get any more.
Well, so yeah. Man's about to dox himself. Wait a second.
I think what I really want to do now is like actually post, like, guys, this is going to be crazy, but I actually want to post something to Instagram.
Because
like when I was looking at getting a mustache, I was looking at like how to like style it and stuff. And then there was a picture of Henry Cavill with the mustache. And I'm like, him and I basically look exactly like him. So so I just need that side by side so that the people can respect. And then, you know, then maybe my girlfriend would change her mind about it.
I need you to redo that scene. And what's that fucking movie where he reloads his arms?
Oh, Mission Impossible. Yeah.
I need to do Mission Impossible with fucking... We just reloads
his biceps. If you can do that side by side, then you're golden.
Yeah, that's what I want. If you're gonna post on Instagram, that's what I want to see.
All right, we'll look into it.
Thank you for listening, everyone. We appreciate it. Thank you, Brian, for the art. Thank you, Alex, for the music. Devin, thank you for being here.
Happy birthday!
Again, happy birthday!
Yeah.
And thank you, Jackie, for helping edit the podcast every week. Happy holidays, everyone! And put a coat on. It's cold out there.
Yeah, shorts. So how it gets worse.
All right, we'll see you all next week here in another episode of The Fortress of...
They say...
I hate it.
They say...
I hate this movie.
They say...
I hated it.